All right, so I'm going to call Claire up, and she's going to share a bit about, from her perspective, Malawi. Thanks, Claire.
Good morning, everybody. I need my glasses. Sorry, getting old. And I need a stand, because otherwise I'm going to shake. Okay. Why did I go to Malawi? My mum feeds me books. If you know Kay, you will have probably be fed books as well. I read Kisses for Kate. And as Donnie does nearly every year, sorry about my voice, it's nerves, he said, "We're going to go to Malawi." And it hasn't happened since my husband went 9 years ago. And this time he said, "We're going to Malawi." And I'd read Kisses for Kate. And I kind of couldn't say no. So that's why I went to Malawi, if you were wondering. Oh, my gosh. Okay. I shouldn't be hanging on to this. What was the reason for GIA sending us, Global Interaction sending us to Malawi? They told us that it wasn't to do anything in particular. It was to see what the people over there have done and what they are doing. So we have people that we support as a church over there. Your money goes to them if you give to missions. And their name is Tim and Mel. There's also John Claude and Joyce as well. But we mostly saw Tim and Mel and Clayton and Jared. So we went to see what they were doing. Now, you read the newsletters if you're interested. It's amazing what they're doing. But we actually got to see it. Okay, we got to see the other missionaries that are in the area. They're all from different denominations. We got to meet with them on the Sunday. And they don't have church, they have fellowship, because they're all different denominations. So, you know, church for us isn't the same as church for some other denominations. So we got to be a part of their fellowship with the other missionaries, which is awesome. Donnie did the amazing Donnie, which was amazing. And we got to spend time with the kids. So Judy, Donnie and I, we did the kids program. So I don't know how the rest of the... It sounded like it went well. So, but our side went really well. Donnie was amazing. Okay. So Tim and Mel, everything they do, if you ever give them money, everything they do is covered in prayer. They do not do anything without first praying about what this money or what their body is going to do in the community. They're amazing. They are really amazing. So to support them, your prayers as well make a huge difference, a huge difference. They go into the community. They're so respectful of the people. They dress in a way that is respectful to the people. If they're going into a community with the Yao, they're mostly Muslims. So the women wear head covers. And so Mel will wear a head cover whenever she goes into those communities. So Judy and I, wanting to be part of what Tim and Mel did, we covered our heads. And people showed us respect because of that. I actually had a guy come up. I was on the back of a ute, one of the most exciting things that we did while we were there. I get to ride on the back of the ute. We don't have the laws over there that you have over here. You can't ride on the back of a ute anymore here. But over there you can. And a guy actually came off the street. I don't know if Tim... Did Tim must have known him. I mean, Tim knows everyone in Malatmangotchi. And he was like, "Oh, so who's this sheikh's wife that you've got on the back of your ute? She is dressed so respectfully with her... with her scarf wrapped around her." I was like, "Oh, wow, okay." But he was really glad that I was being respectful to the people in that community. And I even had a guy when we went into Blantyre, which is a big city now, and it's very Western. We went into a bookstore, and he actually thanked me, because this is what they wear over there, with another skirt underneath. I don't wear the other skirt underneath, it's too hot. But this is what they wear. And I think I had my headscarf on. And he actually thanked me for wearing their traditional clothing, because the people in Blantyre now are very Western, and they wear the short skirts and they wear the tight jeans. And that is just so against everything traditionally what they do. So he actually thanked me, which is amazing. Like, yeah, trying to get your head around that's just pretty hard. Anyway, Clayton and Jared are totally part of their calling, Tim and Mel's calling. They really feel it themselves, the sons. One of the ladies that was there, she said while we were at a restaurant, she said to Jared, "So what do you like about Africa?" And Jared just went, "I think I've been asked this question probably a million times. I hate this question." I was like, okay. And he said, "This is where we're called to be. This is my home." They've been there for 10 years, since they were really small. That's what they know. They really feel called, as well as their parents, that that is where they are meant to be. And they're influence in the community in Mangochi with the kids club that they have is immense. They speak the local language like beautifully, really well. They can communicate with all those kids, and the most of the population are young now, so they can have that communication with them. And people flock. The kids club, like we were warned about the kids club that maybe 100 or so kids, 200 kids would be coming. We're like, whatever. No, like they come. They just keep pouring into their compound, and it is amazing. They get to hear a Bible story. These are kids that are from Muslim families. They get to hear a Bible story. They draw the Bible story. Then they write a Bible verse, and every week on a Monday in the afternoon they come back and they have to memorize, they will have memorized that memory verse, and they have to say it to the people that are marking the drawings and the memory verses before they get to get a little bit of a cordial or juice frozen. So every single week they're learning Bible stories. They hear it in Yao, they hear it in Chichewa, and they hear it in English. So no one's missing out. What else did we see while we were over there? We saw the literacy groups that Tim and Mel have gone out. They were doing Bible studies, I think, in those groups, and now they're teaching them to read and write their local language, which is Yao. And it's never been... From what I've heard, they haven't had a written language. It's all just verbal. They tell stories verbally and they remember them. They're not like me who forgets stories very quickly. So they remember everything. So now they're learning to read and write. And sitting there, we watched their exams. The people, villagers came in. Lots and lots of people came in, mostly women. And they got examined and they sat on the floor with their legs out and half of them with babies strapped to their backs in their exam, sitting on a concrete or dirt floor. And they took their exams and you could see them working there. Like, it's amazing watching an adult trying to learn to read. It was weird. It's like, it was like... It's why. What are you like? They're learning their own language, but to them, it's really difficult. And you can imagine if you've never read before, it is difficult. It was amazing to watch them. Some of them got 100% on their literacy exam, which was amazing. Most of them got over 80%. There's only a couple that didn't pass. So that was amazing. They got presented with certificates, and it was a big thing because that's Kazungus or. Azungus, the white people, we were there and we were helping to do that ceremony. So for them it was a big thing. Now there's Bible translations that we saw as well while we're there. And effort that goes into Bible translations is incredible. They have so many guys that have been picked out, very local. Their parents have to have been born in Mangochi. They have to have lived in Mangochi. They have to be able to speak English, I think. Yeah. And there's one woman. There's a team of three, two men, one woman, to have a female influence in the translation. Whoop, whoop. But, amazing the work. And that's mostly nearly finished. And so because Tim and Mal are teaching people how to read and to write, now this Bible translation that they've been working on for the past 10 years or however long will actually be able to get read by the local people. So what Tim and Mal are doing in the community is making sense. They're all working towards something so that the people are hearing God's word and being able to read it themselves. And when they see it and when they hear it, it changes them entirely. Like the stories that they tell, they get dreams from God, all sorts of stuff. It's absolutely amazing. We visited a few people that Tim and Mal had influence in their lives. They'd become followers of Jesus, and now they had moved on and out of the community that Mangochi, where they, Tim and Mal, still have influence. But they're still going strong for God, which is amazing. 10 years later, they've got these people that are out in communities and actually affecting the people around them. So that was great to see people like that they've affected. Mel had a Bible study of ladies that she had befriended, and they have become, you probably read in the newspaper, a newsletter, that they've become a group that have started a nursery. We would call it like a daycare. So every weekday, Friday to Monday, Monday to Friday, they, from 8 o'clock or say 8:30 to 12:30 every day of the week, they would have kids come. And some of them are babies and up to about 4 years of age. And they're learning everything that they learn through singing, dancing, and just sitting and listening is done in English. So these children are learning English at that age. This is my hair, this is my hair, these are my ears. And they sing songs and they dance and they run around. And we got to be a part of that. And that was really, really awesome. And talk to those teachers as well. So those women are actually bringing in money, which actually balances, which is amazing because no one's stealing anything, which is something that kind of happens over there. And they're actually tithing. The tithe that they give from the money that they make is going out to those literacy groups. So this is affecting that, is affecting this. It's all connecting up. I would say for Tim and Mel, they're in a place where it's they're kicking goals, as they say. They've been there for 10 years. They're wanting to come back to Australia. Well, they have to come back for furlough in 2021, but they're hoping that they can extend that for another 6 months because Jared will be in grade 12, and so they need him, and he wants to. It was up to him what he decided to do. He wants to do grade 12 in Australia because they're doing the Queensland curriculum, and he would like to have the opportunity to do that in Australia, which I give him credit for because it's going to be, yeah, a lot harder with the people around him that he would have had back at home in Africa. So Tim and Mel really are concentrating on being able to step out of all of these things that they're doing and leave the locals to keep going. And they really are almost, well, they probably could walk away now, and those people are so strong for God that they will just keep going and hopefully keep producing more people for God. We did see John Claude and Joyce. John Claude spent some time with us. They are making an impact in their community. They've had a couple of baptisms already, secret baptisms, because they don't want to make too much of a too much of a wave, I suppose. But they do, if you want to pray for them, they do need a teacher for their four children. They're really in desperate need for that. They're from a tribe of Burundians. Now, Burundians have moved into Mangochi, and they have a different mentality to the Yao people. Burundians will work together as a team, and they're very entrepreneurial. So they are starting businesses, and working as a team, they can actually get more stock without having to not be selling stuff, etc., etc. Whereas the local Yao people don't trust anybody, so they're the ones that go and get the products, and while they're getting products to sell, there's no one selling. So they don't work as well as business people. So these Burundians that have moved into Mangochi, which is, there are quite a few, have made all these businesses, and the Yao people have become quite jealous of all of that. But Joyce and Jean-Claude are Burundians. Now, it's taken them 5 years to get up their money to be able to go into Mangochi, and I think that is very much God's timing, because the Burundians that are there wouldn't have been there probably 5 years ago. So God's timing has been perfect with them being Burundians moving into Mangochi. And it's going to be a good one to watch to see how they impact that community, because they already are, and they've only been there a very, very short amount of time. It is a time of harvest, I think, for Tim and Mel, and I think it will be for Jean-Claude and Joyce as well, because of the influence that Tim and Mel have had on that community. There's so much more that can be done over in Mangochi. Even though Tim and Mel might be coming home, there's parts that, like farming, there's just so much to teach people over there how to farm. Teaching the young girls sex education and taking in sanitary packs and days for girls. A lot of women have probably heard about that. We took a lot of the packs for them over. There's so many different things that could be done in the community. Prayer really needs to keep covering Tim and Mel and the people over in Mangochi. But that is why we went, and thank you very much for listening.
Now, a lot of that you'll have to ask questions about, because it's not all self-explanatory. But one point I will say is Claire and the girls got a whole bunch of Australian-designed shatengis, which is that piece of material that they wear around their waist and legs. And the girls, you could see how excited they were of getting Australian shatengis. They were just so wrapped. Amazing, hey? So, honey, for Christmas, all you're getting is a piece of material 2 metres away. I hope you're just as happy as they are with that heart mate gift. Anyone got a place at Christmas lunch? I can come. Let's just pray, shall we? And I'll hand over to our team. Father God, thank you for what you did in Malawi, what you continue to do through Tim and Mel and the team and Jean-Claude and Joyce. We lift them up in prayer, and we ask that your will be done in and through those places. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Kids, you want to come on down the front? We've got our Jesse tree coming, I think.
Jesus is the way. Jesus is the Savior. You can come to Him today. Jesus saves. Jesus saves people from their sin. You will find forgiveness when you put your trust in Him. Yeah.
Have I got... Oh, well. Oh! Seen it? Oh, here we are again. All right. Now, do I get another ornament today? Do I? Please, can I? What? What do we got? All right. Hop up. Can I see? Can you hold it up really loud? I mean, really high? Now I've got it on the brain. Do trees have brains?
No.
Oh, that's interesting. What's that? What's the story about that one?
It's about John the Baptist. He was Zacharias and Elizabeth's child and Jesus' cousin.
Back up. Mm-hmm. Zachariah and Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Is that why I have people on me?
Yeah.
Aren't they cute? So John was their son.
Yeah.
And did you say he was Jesus' cousin?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's a high-achieving cousin. What did John do?
He told people about Jesus so that they would be ready for when he came.
Ready. Oh, now, remember, back. There were prophecies. And that was about Jesus coming as well, the Saviour. All right, so that's where John fits in the story. Okay. All right, can you pin John onto me, please? I must be nearly full. What happens if I run out of branches? Where will the stories go? We're having a lot of technical difficulties today. We're now having safety pin difficulties. That was me. Not me, because I'm a tree. I don't put things on. That was Angela. Angela put it on. Okay. So we started at creation and we've gone all through all the stories. And now we're up to John. Okay. So today we get a new story and I'm really excited about hearing it. Is anyone else excited about hearing the new story? Thank you, Kelsey. Someone's excited. All right. I'm going to do my dance because it's really fun. Does anyone want to come up and do my dance with me? Not this week? Thank you. All right. Are we ready?
Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the Savior, you can come to him today. Jesus saves, Jesus saves people from their sin. You will find forgiveness when you put your trust in him. Yeah.
I'm exhausted. Is it my imagination or is that faster? It's getting faster and faster. All right, let's go and listen to Angela and Beck tell us the next story. All right, let's go.
The Bible reading today is taken from Isaiah, chapter 9, starting at verse 1. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future he will honour Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, thanks for this opportunity of being able to worship you. And yes, Lord, your love, it amazes us. We thank you that we can receive it right here and right now. Your grace, your mercy, your goodness, the power of your Holy Spirit filling us, enabling us to be the people that you've called us to be. Father, I pray, Lord God, that right now we just open our mind and our hearts to you, that you would let us know your truth this morning. You would speak loudly to us and that we'd hear this in Jesus' name. Amen. How many people love a sunrise? Yes. How many people know I love a sunrise? Yeah, I love sunrises. They're fantastic. You know, you go from darkness into that twilight or morning, dawn period, and then up comes the sun. And then in the afternoon, you get the same. You get bright daylight, and then you go into the twilight zone, and then it's dark. And before you know it, it's just doof. And you have to turn your torch on to get off the beach because all of a sudden they've shifted the signs. And you don't know where's where because it's all dark. There's no lights. I love it. It's just beautiful. It's beautiful going from one to the other. Where it's not so good is where those transitions can be quite funky. Let me give you a couple of examples on where transitions of where you're not there but you're almost there. You know what I'm talking about? The grey zone. The grey zone. I'm not a really good traveller. You talked to Cynthia about travelling. When the kids were younger, we're going to Sydney. We're going to Sydney. We're leaving at 4 a.m. in the morning and we're doing this. There's a toilet stop at 7 o'clock. If you want to go earlier, bad luck. I'm on my way, you know. We're on our way and I'm watching the time and I'm working out. We're doing an average of 84 kilometres an hour. Where's this truck going? Where am I headed? I'm on my way. That grey zone of the journey is not something I'm real good at. Coming back from South Africa out of Joburg, we got the opportunity to have our seats right next to the toilets. I'm on the aisle, so I'm getting my arm smashed every 5 minutes. After the first 10 minutes, I'm looking at my watch going, 11 hours left? It's okay. We've got entertainment. I'm going to turn the entertainment on. I'm going to watch 14 movies and I'll be there before I know it. I turn the entertainment on. It's not working. Ah! I turn to Claire, who's sitting next to me. My entertainment, they've got a movie on. They've got a movie on. It's not fair. The injustice of it all. And in this process, the guy in front of me pushes the down button. And it feels like it's on my chest. How am I going to survive this? And just as I'm feeling it, the toilet flushes. You beauty, I've got that all night. I turned to Claire. The only satisfaction I had was Claire's entertainment wasn't working either. Hallelujah. She's with me on this journey. And then I look over to Judy. She's watching a movie. Oh, I don't like Judy. All of a sudden, Claire's tired of pushing all the buttons that we're pushing because it's touch zone. And all of a sudden, she reboots it. Thinking, there's a clever girl. Electronics, reboot. No, push buttons, work. All of a sudden, Claire's watching a movie. No. 16 minutes. Man, how is this going to last? Where am I going to get to Australia? It was the longest night, wasn't it, Claire? It was, we struggled. You did. You were very sacrificial. You were. I was very stubborn. No. You know what I mean? The grey zone? How am I going to go through this period of time? Happened again this Wednesday. Another grey zone for you. You might relate to this one. Wednesday, for some reason, I knew it was going to be a late night, but started at 6 a.m. in the morning. Silly. So go about doing everything. Some great things happening. Go down to Brisbane, do a hospital visit with a few people. Michelle, great. She sends all her love. She's lost 13 kilos. Keep praying. They're going to stop her heart on, I think, the 10th of December or the 16th. I'll check that out. But they're going to put an electronic thing up through her, into her heart, and doof, stop her heart because they've tried all these different things and it's not working. Doctors are working on her a bit. She had 29 medications when she went in, and the goal of her going in 6 weeks ago was to take her off those medications. She's now on 32. Something's not working there. But she's lost 13 kilos, so she's almost at a point where she can have that operation, but she needs to lose a few more. But stoked, because all of a sudden I'm appearing in her room. She's also in a four-people cubicle with three other guys, so if you could pray for some other ladies to come into that room, that'd be good. But it was good. There's significant opportunities of ministry. I go to a great meeting for Queensland Baptists. We've got a new director of movement who starts in 2021. He's a great guy. He's a senior pastor from Gateway Baptist. He's awesome. A whole bunch of really good things happen. I had certain people from my church here texting me during the meeting, distracting me. Making me laugh out loud when it was a quiet zone. But it was good. I got there, so 10:30, we're out of Brisbane. We're on our way home. You beauty, no traffic. Yes, I'm going to be home. I stop up near Caloundra at the roadworks for 20 minutes. Just stopped. I can see the lights of Caloundra. I'm almost there. Come on, let me through. And then we get to the Caloundra turnoff. Guess what? It's closed for roadworks. That's all right. I'll go the Mooloolaba turn off. I get to Mooloolaba. Guess what? It's closed. I had to do a detour up to Glenview Shevelum. 20 minutes later, so 40 minutes on my journey, the grey zone. I'm ripping my eyes out. I'm tired. All I want to do is go to sleep. Let me go to sleep. It's 11:45 at night. It's been a day. You know what I'm talking about, the grey zone? You get the picture now? Good. The people of Israel were in a grey zone. That prophetic word that we heard today from Isaiah chapter 9 was 680 years before it came about. 680 years. That's a long time. Before angels started turning up and talking to Zechariah and people there, and then Mary, as we're going to hear a little bit later, there was silence for 400 years. The people of Israel were in a grey zone. Everything was quiet. Could you imagine going for 400 years not hearing the voice of God? How many of us, when we have a prayer time and we don't hear God speak to us, oh, God's not talking to me. What's going on? And it's just one prayer time. How about 400 years as a people? That's a big grey zone. So when today's prophetic word comes out, and notice today I didn't just do the lovely bit of verses 6 to 9, you know, unto us a child is born. Where is it? Over there. Unto us a child is born, a son is given. That beautiful passage that we love at Christmas time. But the other verses before it, you don't like those verses, do you? Because it talks about this and this and this and darkness and a light has to come. They were in a dark zone. They were crying out for the Messiah. They were keen for the Messiah to come. The prophetic word of God was out there. Now, when I was a young boy, if my dad had to tell me once to do something, and I didn't do it, I was in big trouble. If I didn't get in big trouble and Dad had to tell me twice, the end of the world was on its way. Does anyone know what I'm saying? The Word of God has 108 prophecies about the Messiah's coming. 108. Let me read this. This is about a guy, Professor Peter Stoner. He studied in area of astronomy and mathematics. So he's a bit of a genius. In 1958, he took some time off to study the fulfillment of the messianic prophecies. He concluded that the probability of even 8 of these 108 prophecies coming to pass is a conservative 1 in 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, quadrillion. One in 100 quadrillion. That's only 8 of the 108 prophecies that took place. 108 prophecies. So God is telling the people of Israel, coming out of this grey zone, there is a light coming in the darkness. God is speaking loudly and clearly. And we get to today, where we're going to look at Mary very soon. But just before we get to Mary, I've discovered a thread through God's plan of salvation. Anyone notice this thread that I'm talking about? Let me point it out to you very loudly and clearly, okay? Here we go. You ready? When God came to Noah, Noah was just hanging out. God comes to Noah and says, I want you to build an ark. And we know the whole story about that, don't we? Noah goes, what's an ark? What's a cubit? I'm miles away from the water. What are you going to do? And at the end of the day, what does Noah say? Okay. Okay. So the next 100 years, Noah builds an ark. Do you think he had a hard time about that? I think he did. I don't think it was an easy 100 years. I think it was a really hard, painful, the butt of everybody's joke for 100 years. Not just embarrassed for one occasion, but the butt of everyone's joke for 100 years. And he goes, okay, no worries. Abraham. Abraham's living a good life. He's the son of a wealthy man. And God turns up to him and says, I want you to leave your family and friends. I want you to follow me and go into a land far away that you don't know anything about. And what does Abraham say? Okay. Really? Just okay. Away we go. So off Abraham goes. And we know that wasn't an easy story. Moses. Moses is running away from his duties. He's, as the King James says, he's in the backside of the desert in Exodus chapter 3. And God appears to him in the flaming bush. And God says, I want you to go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And after a little bit of a chat, Moses goes, okay. And he goes. Was that an easy journey? No, it wasn't. It was a tough journey. Rahab, Joshua, Esther, should we go on? It happens again and again and again. There's people sitting in circumstances. It's darkness all around. It's not looking good. And God goes, I need someone to stand up for me. Noah, Moses, Esther, David. And they put up their hand. And they go, okay. And then, in 2019, on the Sunshine Coast, we're talking about these people because they obeyed God. They said yes to God. We don't often talk about people who didn't say yes, do we? We don't often know their stories because nothing ever is heard, because they didn't respond to what God had said to them. If you've got your Bibles there, open up to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Here we have an amazing situation where Mary comes into the story. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town to Galilee. Now in that prophecy from Isaiah chapter 9, was Galilee mentioned? Yes. Was Nazareth mentioned? Yes. So here we go. Here it comes. To a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a decree, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you are highly favoured. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at this and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked. For I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was unable to have children, is in her 6th month. For no word from God will ever fail. And Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. May what this word says be fulfilled in me. Isn't that an amazing situation? So remember that grey period's at this time. The people of Israel are not seeing a lot of God at work. The people of Israel are seeing God as being quiet. And all of a sudden, angels appearing. All of a sudden, prophetic words are lining up. All of a sudden, a young girl. Now, we don't know how old Mary is. Some say she was 13, some say 16. We don't know how old she was. But what we do know, she was a virgin, she was betrothed to Joseph, and an angel appeared to her, and an angel said, this is what it is. And after a little bit of a discussion, backwards and forwards, she puts her hand up and says, okay. Okay. Do you think it was going to be easy for Mary? Not a chance. The first situation she had to get past was the cultural challenge. For her to be pregnant and not married, they could have taken her out and stoned her. She could have been killed. She had to get past that hurdle. And it's interesting that we go back to Elizabeth here, and she's in her sixth month. So this is 6 months after what Brendan talked about last week. So the timeline is going on, and yet God continues to speak, and he continues to find people who say, okay, I want to be God's servant. May this word be fulfilled in my life. May this be fulfilled in my life. That's a powerful word from a young girl. A powerful word in a young girl who's prepared to be vulnerable and obedient and let God be God in and through her life. Major challenges ahead. Now, we often know the story of Mary, don't we? We know that, what she sees in the future, what she gets to be a part of, is incredibly significant, but yet incredibly tough and a hard journey. Not easy at all. How are you and I going? How are we going at listening to what God's got for us? Are we hearing him speak to us? Is he calling us to do something? Is he speaking to us about, here's something that's before you, here's a plan that I have for you? And are we open to say yes to that? Now, Claire has given us a little bit of info on Tim and Mel and Jean-Claude and Joyce. But let me just step back a little bit before that. 10 years ago, Tim and Mel were builders. They had their own building business up in Cairns. Things were going very well for them. He was a very, very good businessman, and he was achieving great goals in making lots of money as a builder. But God came and spoke to them and called them to Malawi. And they went. They put their hand up and went, okay. They had two sons who were 4 and 6. 4 and 6. Okay. Our family will go to Malawi. Now, you might laugh, but Cynthia and I were in Logan City. And we heard God say, Sunshine Coast. It took us 6 months for us to pray that through. You would have thought, yes, Lord, send me. But it was 6 months. I had two daughters, one in grade 2, one in grade 4. What about their friends? What about their schooling? What about them, Lord? You want to pull me out of Logan City where they're comfortable, where they're happy, where their family and friends are? And you want to move me all the way up to the Sunshine Coast? What about them, Lord? Now they're 25 and 22, both walking with the Lord strongly. I think God was in it. Tim and Mel have gone over with their two boys, who are now 16 and 14. Young men, certainly in the Malawian culture. But amazing kids. You've heard Claire talk about Jared and Clayton. Sold out for God, but sold out for these people. They're missionaries in their own rights. Absolute missionaries. Clayton, these school holidays, is going to be doing training as a park ranger at Lwandi National Park. Sort of like an apprenticeship to see if that's somewhere he could go in his life in Malawi. They're in. They put up their hand and said, okay. And they're seeing amazing things take place. Jean-Claude and Joyce. How many people know about Jean-Claude and Joyce, apart from what Claire told you today? They're Burundian. Who knows where Burundi is? Africa, very good. Yeah, have a guess at that one. They're Africa. Yeah, they're Africans. They're very dark skinned, very dark skinned. Darker skinned than the Malawians. But Jean-Claude and Joyce, I don't know Joyce's story much, but their family was destroyed by civil war. And both of them, Jean-Claude and Joyce, separately, ended up in a refugee camp. A refugee camp. Where they were for 20 years. 20 years. My grey zone was 20 minutes. Or 10 hours, 11 hours. Their grey zone was 20 years in a refugee camp. Then, according to Jean-Claude, these are his words, he won the lotto and got to come to Australia as a refugee. And when he got to Australia, he met Joyce, who also won the lotto from a different refugee camp. And they met. They fell in love. They married. They had 4 kids. He went to Bible college. He became a Baptist pastor. He moved into Logan City, where the All Nations Revival Church was planted and grew and was kicking goals. And in the middle of all this great stuff that's happening, Jean-Claude hears God say, I want you to go back to Africa. What are you saying, God? He goes back to Burundi because he thinks God's taking him back there. And he gets there, all his family, all the friends, all the community, it's all gone. There's someone else living there, not his people. He feels heartbroken. So he goes via Malawi on the way home. And when he gets to Timbamel, he finds the Yao people and he falls in love with the Yao people. And he goes, I will come and serve here. He's going back. That's like me saying, sign me up for South African Airlines yet again. He's going back with his little kids. And as Claire said, 5 years. 5 years. Another grey zone, amen? 5 years studying for missions, preparing to get money so he can go back and be funded. And when he gets back there, the refugee camp in the north of Malawi, which has Burundians in it, has 400 Burundian families living in Nangochi. God's timing. Amen, Claire. You're 100% correct. You can't write this, can you? This is just God's plan. And he sees it because he put up his hand and said, okay, let's make this happen. For you and me, in the example through the Jesse tree, God's salvation plan working in you and me. Are we hearing it? The prophetic word, 108 of them, speaking about Jesus' coming. This is reality. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the universe. He is the Savior of your soul and my soul, and he wants to work in and through our community. He wants to speak into our lives, and he's going to ask us questions. And I believe he wants us to put up our hand and say, yes, I'll do that. I'll be a part of this. I'll be a part of what God wants to do here and now. Whether it's in this zone, my family, my sporting club, wherever I am, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus. And I'm going to listen to his voice and be obedient to his call on my life. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. God's salvation plan. It's not just for us to keep it inside these four walls. It's to take it further afield. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you have a plan, an incredible plan of salvation. You did it all the way through the Old Testament, and now we're seeing it in the New Testament. You're working in people like Zechariah and Elizabeth, and today Mary, a young girl. We don't know much about her, Father, but we know she met with an angel. We know she was a virgin, betrothed to Joseph. And you said, this is what's going to happen. And she just went, okay, I follow you. May your word be fulfilled in my life. Lord, I pray that your word will be fulfilled in our lives. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you too said yes to your Father. You lived a life. You went to the cross. You died on that cross and you rose again. You rose again. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Because of this, we can hear the Father's voice. Because of this, we know his grace and his mercy. Because of this, we can follow him. Amen. We're going to finish our service with communion. And there's going to be a challenge in our last song. The team's going to come back straight after communion. And in that time, you can come and get prayer, but there's something else for you. I've got a whole bunch of very average, dodgy stones. Grey stones. Not very pretty stones, but just a stone. Not very nice. Pretty plain. Pretty average. Sometimes, as we are waiting to see what God's going to do, there is a grey zone. We wait patiently. We wait for what God wants to do. But we still say yes. We don't give up. We don't say, oh, well, you haven't worked yet. 400 years, remember? Oh, well, it hasn't worked yet. 6 months. Oh, well, it hasn't worked yet. 20 years in a refugee camp. We hold on to God's promise. As we walk through the grey zone, as we walk through the fuzziness of what's going on, we hold on to the promise that God has over our lives. Amen? And we don't let it go. So this little stone, if you want to grab it, it's just a little memento. I was talking to people yesterday. They like messages where there's something solid they can take away from it. Well, here's something solid you can take away from today's message. You can take away a stone. Cynthia said to me this morning, why are you taking all the stones? I said, well, that's what I'm taking, so I'm going to throw them at people that fall asleep when I'm preaching. She went, okay, fair enough. No, she didn't. Sorry, honey, I'm misquoting you. But you can take this away and you can hold on to it. And you might be going, when is that light going to break through? Well, listen to God's promise. It's there. It's still coming. And he's not slow, as we might think he's slow. Hold on to what God's got for you. Don't let go. His yes is yes. It may be a grey zone, but the light is coming. When Jesus came, he lived in complete obedience to the Father. He went to the cross. His body was broken on the cross. His blood was shed. But it's because of that that we can hear God's voice. It's because of that we enter into this relationship with who he is. It's because of that we get filled with the Holy Spirit and are able to go and minister. I was talking with one of my RI teachers this week. See this scene? What's that called? Nativity scene. We've got kids in grade 4 who don't know what a nativity scene is. They don't know and they don't understand. We've got a job to do in our community, folks. We need to put our hand up and say, yes, I'm about the good news of Jesus Christ and telling his story, the good news. Let's pray. Father God, as we take communion together, as we take the bread and the wine, the juice, Lord, may we always remember that you are at work in our lives, that it's a solid thing. It's not just a theory. It's a real thing. It's not just something we believe, but it's something we do. It's something we partake in. We are a people of action called by you, Lord Jesus, to respond yes, to respond in action. So, Father, fill us anew as we take these things. We take the bread and we take the cup. Fill us anew with your Holy Spirit. Inspire us, Lord God, to be your people in this zone. As it's Christmas, we get to do it openly, openly, and openly. May you cause more conversations to take place. May you bring about life-changing experiences as we be a people that say yes to your call. Amen.